Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Gracious Father, how we do love you, and yet for grace to love you more. We do desire to know more about you. We do desire to live more holily, righteously, and godly in this present world. And yet we know all too well the language of the beloved Apostle Paul when he said that when I would do good, evil is present with me, and how to perform that which is good I find not. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But we thank you that our beloved apostle didn't stop there. He went on with a praise of thanksgiving that it is through the righteousness of another, that is, of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy darling Son. We thank you that he is the sum total of your revelation, your manifestation. We thank you that you delight to send your Son. And we thank you that as a Father, your interest is in the praise and adoration of Christ. And as the Holy Spirit, the same interest being the praise and adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he's the second person of the Trinity. It is the Son that is submissive to the Father. It is the Son that does the Father's will. And while we cannot comprehend all that in which we are praying, our souls are made to rejoice and delight in such profound truths. We thank you that these are not idle tales. They're not cunning devised fables. And I pray that you would bless us in our study of thy darling Son, that he would be made known to us in a better and a closer way. In Jesus' name, amen. We left off looking at Abraham this morning, particularly as he had been called out of Ur of Chaldee, the Lord had visited him in visions and various other ways. Now I want us to come to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And here we're going to see where without question, Jesus Christ made himself known to Abraham like a man, as well as the two angels that were with him. Now think about that for a moment. Our Lord, who in the beginning, who was the Word, who was with God, who was God, who created angels, and just to use a poor analogy, I guess, just kind of like an old farm boy might say or something, he grabs two angels to come along with him on a journey. And they're going to meet Abraham. Let's look here in Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, notice it says they stood by him, but he ran to meet them. So they were of near proximity. They were not so close that he didn't have to get up, but they were far enough away that he did have to get up. And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For heretofore are you come to your servant. And they said, Do so as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, kneal it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, we read that quite quickly. But there were hours involved in what we read. You know, you don't just bake a loaf of bread right quick. And these loaves of bread were quite large. And you don't kill a calf and dress it and cook it and get ready for eat in 20 minutes. But there's quite a few things that we see here. Oh, in verse 10 he said, And I will certainly return unto thee to the time of life, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. So here we see that Abram is sitting here in the tent door in the heat of the day. Too hot to work, going to sit in the shade. Wait till it cools down before he does something. And as he's sitting here, then these three men appear. And as we know, and which we will see, you know, it starts out in verse 1, it said, And the Lord appeared unto him. That, notice that's in all caps. That's Jehovah. That's our I Am. And in verse 3, calls him the Adonai. You notice the Lord is not in all caps there. But it's still the same Lord. And the Lord, like the angels, showed himself as a man. And he talked like a man. You see that quite easily. He talked, and then in verse 13 and 14, And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, it already said up there in one of the earlier verses that He's going to restore Abraham's youth. Now he's going to restore Sarah's youth so that they can have a child. Abraham talked not only to the Lord, but then he talked to the angels. Astounding, isn't it? And the Lord was so much as a man in his pre-incarnate state Abraham starts bargaining with the Lord, as we would say. I don't know of any other way to put it. Notice in verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed to him." Then he talks about that I know that he will bring his household up like he ought to, and so on. And then, verse 20, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous therein?" And you know the rest of the story. He goes on and he finally gets down to 10. But can you imagine Abraham talking to the Lord that way? But have we not at times tried to bargain with the Lord? "I'll do this if you'll do that. If you'll do this, I'll try to do that," and so on. The Lord ate the food that Abraham had provided. The Lord allowed Abraham to reason with him. And from verse 33, it would appear that the Lord was walking with Abraham, because it said, "And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place." So here you get the picture. Abraham sitting there in the day. We don't know whether he was dozing off in the shade there, resting. No, that's nothing uncommon. Being raised on the farm, it was nothing uncommon that when we came in, what time Mother didn't bring the food to us out in the field, we would eat, and then sometimes we would just kindly rest in the shade for a while till it kindly cooled off. Well, Abraham is there, and he's sitting there in the heat of the day, and all of a sudden, these three men come up, and he gets a meal ready for them, and they eat. Angels ate. Our Lord ate in his pre-incarnate state. And our Lord, as we said, allowed Abraham to reason with him as they walked along. Beloved, it's nothing wrong necessarily with our talking to the Lord. And I'll use the word reasoning again, with the idea of us endeavoring to become more dedicated to Him. Isn't it good to talk to the Lord? Isn't it good to know? You remember what our Lord told Thomas? Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I see the nail scars in his hand and in his feet and the spear scar in his side." And when the Lord appeared to him and said, "Here they are, Thomas," he said, "My Lord and my God," what did he tell Thomas? "Yea, rather blessed are they who believe and have not seen." We think, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have walked along and talked to the Lord back then? What you have now is better. Peter said so in his epistle. We have something better. You see, Abraham didn't have a book with 66 books in it. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have anything written down. But I submit to you that he had something tangible. He had something concrete. He had the Lord Jesus Christ in a human body. Now, was it a human body? I don't know. It's just called his pre-incarnate state. It looked like a human body. It addressed them as men. They looked like men. But Jesus Christ did not have his body until he was born either. And so he didn't create a body separate from that which he was going to inhabit in eternity. So, as I said earlier this morning, when we come across some of these manifestations of the Lord, even though we have some facts, we still don't know how to interpret those facts. Let me say it this way, if I can, to try to get a point across. Physically, you are not the same person that you were when you were born and put in your baby bed. But as a person, though you grew, though you learned things, you're still the person you were when you were laying in that baby bed. Einstein was still Einstein when he was a baby. He was Einstein when he was mature. In other words, there was change in him, but he was still the same person. It was the same Lord Jesus Christ. It was just manifested in a different way. And that's all we can say. Say, well, it says man. It does say man. It says the angels. It does say men with them. Because if you'll know, the two angels, the two men that were with the Lord, they went on to Sodom. And notice what it says in chapter 19, verse 1. The two angels. It calls those two men angels there. And there came two angels to Sodom. And they looked like men, because those men in Sodom wanted to sodomize those men. What I'm trying to say as I'm stumbling around is that while there was a concrete pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ in a human body, and I think maybe it may have looked like the Lord, but you know, I can't prove that, and I won't argue with anybody over that that wants to differ. It was the same Christ. And while we do not have the human Christ with us, we have the same Christ that was with Abraham with us as we walk with Him. So you can say without reservation, the same one that Abraham talked to there in the plains of Mamre, I talk to daily, provided you do. He's with you. And we don't have to wait. Of course, Abraham didn't either, really, but that's a different story. We don't have to wait for Him to come along with us bodily. He's with us all the time. He's with us all the time. That's not... I lost the word. That's not mythology. This is real. This is the Lord that we're trying to talk about. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? The son of David. Well, how does David call Him Lord if He's his son? Well, let's pass on. There was another time when the Lord spoke to Abraham in a most unique way. Turn to Genesis 22. This is when He sacrificed Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here I am." God's going to put Abraham to the test here. And He said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of." Now, if you go back to the previous chapter, Abraham is down here at the southern end, a place called Beersheba. But it's down, it's not on this map, but it's down here at the southern end. And it's believed that the mount that He offered him was is Mount Moriah there on Jerusalem. That's a pretty good distance. Naturally, when I say Beersheba, part of that city comes to my mind when I was there in 72. They showed us a well. They said it was one that Abraham dug. Of course, we don't know that. They tell you a lot of things about a lot of those places. But anyway, I want to give you an idea of how long they had to go. Did God come to him in a vision? Did God talk to him out of the clouds? Did God appear to him in a dream? It doesn't say here. It could be that it was in a dream, because it says in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. So it could have been. I'm just throwing that out. Bible doesn't say, and we can't prove that. But God told him that, and then he got up in the morning. So it could have been. I'd have a hard time thinking that God told him that in the middle of a day, and he stayed around the house there for a day, and then went to bed, and then got up the next morning. That could have happened, but. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had said, had told him. Then on the third day, that could have easily been a 3 days journey. See there? On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. How did he know what the place was if God had not maybe shown him by a vision? You see, there's a lot of questions we can ask that we can't answer, but we can give some possibilities with credibility. Most of the time we read those few verses and never even think about it. But we need to think more about the details of what might have happened and give us an idea that maybe, you know, we might get something from the Lord, think that, you know, God wants us to do a certain thing, and if it's 2 or 3 days before we ever get around to getting it done, that doesn't mean that God didn't tell us that. You see, we live in a day of microwavism. In fact, they want it now where you can open it and it'll heat itself without even sticking it in a microwave. I saw something years ago where they could open up somebody had taken soft drinks, as they say up north, pop. Down south they say Coke. But anyway, take a soft drink and you open it up and it's automatically cold. In some way that they packaged that or sealed it. Well, God could work instantaneous. That's not the norm. But Abraham knew the Lord would manifest himself in some way and deliver him, because notice what he says. Verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Isaac and I are going to go to that mountain. We're going to worship God, and Isaac and I are going to come back. And God had told him to kill him. You know the story, you should. But turn with me to Hebrews 11. We'll come back to Genesis if you want to keep your finger there. But Hebrews 11. I like this so much. Hebrews 11:17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham and Sarah were too old to have children. Bible tells us that. But out of those dead humans, God brought forth a son. So Isaac, Abraham had already seen Isaac come forth out of the dead, as it were. And he knew that if he killed him, God could raise him up. And he knew that if he did kill him, God would raise him up, because he said, God had promised that your inheritance and your seed is going to go through Isaac. So Isaac had to be alive for that to happen. Everything was on the line. Either he believed God or he didn't, and he believed God. If he didn't believe God, he wouldn't have offered Isaac. But he did believe God. So Abraham, with this in Hebrews, and with what God had already told Abraham, and all of this, and what Abraham said there in Genesis, we get some idea of what was going through Abraham's mind. He trusted God. He was trusting God. He couldn't see the end result other than the fact that Isaac had to still be alive, but he knew that God told him to offer him. And so Abraham believed God. This is said to be the time where Abraham saw God, saw the day of Christ and rejoiced. And it may have been. We can't prove that. It might have been, could have been in Genesis 18, and could have been other places, but I just go along with what's generally believed because I don't have any other reason to believe, and I think it was here too, because God did provide, and the Lord is our provider. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood, back in Genesis 22. Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father? He said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? I like this. Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Notice he didn't say God will provide a lamb for himself. God will provide himself a lamb. Did not our Lord provide himself a lamb, being himself our Lord Jesus Christ? You can see the type of this in the sacrifice of Christ. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar. Now Isaac must have been a very exceptionally behaved and well obedient son. He didn't fight Abraham. And Abraham ties him up and puts him on the altar. Wonder what was going through Isaac's mind. And as Abraham takes the knife, Verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, that is, the Lord will see, or the Lord will provide. God manifested himself in a great way. Not only did he tell Abraham to go, and Abraham went, God provided himself a lamb. And that lamb caught in the thicket and was sacrificed in the place of Isaac was the very picture of our lamb that was caught in the crown of thorns and sacrificed for us. What a great picture. Indeed, the lamb provided by the Lord was sacrificed in the place of Isaac as a type of our dying Lord sacrificed in our place. Well, let's go on. I noticed there were a few incidents where the Lord appeared unto Isaac, but not much said about Isaac. Let's go on to Jacob. Of course, we can't hit everybody. But I got enough for a couple of more sermons, I think, beside this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 28. Jacob is on his way from Canaan. He's going back up here to Haran. Remember when Terah left with Abraham, Nahor? Well, Abraham's brother, he stayed up here. So Jacob's going back up here to get a kinfolk for a wife. Of course, some of them still up there. You don't realize that descendants of Abraham here and descendants of Abraham in Syria, they're still descendants of Abraham. They're fighting each other. The Palestinians, descendants of Abraham through Ishmael. And some through the descendants of Lot. But here we are in Genesis 28. And Abraham is on his way. And he stops. Jacob's on his way, and he stops up here at a place. Well, it's not on this map here. Well, it's Bethel. I can't find it right quick. I should be able to see it right quick. But anyway, he stops at this place called Bethel. There was called Luz beforehand, I think. And verse 12, Genesis 28:12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. In other words, God is visiting Jacob now in a dream. This is where he went up there and took some rocks down, fluffed them up for his pillow. This is one time a pillow became a pillar. We're going to see that. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. But who is it that appeared to Jacob in a dream? It's the same one that talked to Abraham in the plains of Mamre, or when he sacrificed Isaac. It's the same one that Enoch prophesied. It's the same one that walked with Adam in the cool of the day. It is the same one, child of God, to whom you talk. Let that sink in. This is not mythology. This is not Peter Rabbit. This is real. The same God. As the song says, He's just the same today. The same God. The same Lord Jesus Christ. The same Jehovah. The one that said, And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory that I had with Thee before the world was. It's the same one that in eternity said, I will be your surety. It's the same one that created the universe. It is the same one that's going to visit the universe, and yet He is visiting it in His pre-incarnate state. And if you are wondering about this ladder, I thought I had it written down somewhere. I may have closed the file out before. Let's see if I can find it in John. I want to make this connection. In the Gospel of John. You probably are making it now, but in case it slipped your mind, John 1:51, talking to Nathanael, and the Lord said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. No doubt he was thinking about what we're reading here in Genesis 28. The angel of the Lord, this ladder ascending up into heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder, and the Lord was standing at the top of it. Here's like Ezekiel that we read this morning. This is visions of God. God is manifesting Himself as a ladder. And yet the Lord is standing at the top of it. It is through Christ as our mediator into heaven itself. Here's some of the pre-incarnations. Even in verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of sleep, and he said, surely the Lord, Jehovah, the I Am, is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. What is the house of God today? The congregation of the Lord. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. There's where a pillow became a pillar. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But it was name of that city was called Luz at the first. Bethel. What is El in Hebrew? God. What is Beth in Hebrew? House. That's what this is, house of God, Bethel. When you see Bethel, that interpreted means house of God. God was visiting him in a dream. In a dream. And then God visited him in a dream again in Genesis 31. We read this one this morning, but we'll just look at it briefly. Genesis 31, 24. Well, actually, what I read this morning was Genesis 31:11. And the angel of God came unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and told him to go back home. Verse 24, I forgot, this is where the Lord is visited him in a dream to Laban. Notice here in Genesis 31:24. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. You better watch out what you do to Jacob, what he was saying. And then Laban says, after he got to Jacob, in verse 29, it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Jacob had enough sense to know what people today don't know. You better take heed what you do to God's people. And Laban knew that it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Notice what he said. The God of your father spake unto me yesternight. And what did we read earlier in Jacob's dream? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the same God. And you know what? This is the same God that we worship. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jacob is on his way home. Laban comes after him. Finally Laban lets him go. And then Jacob hears that Esau is coming to meet him. Uh-oh. He remembers what he did to Esau. And so Jacob divides his family up between his two wives, and then he divides them up. Well, he divides them up between his two concubines, the handmaidens of the two wives, and then he divides them up into two wives, and then he sends a gift to go on to meet Esau. And so Jacob kindly stays behind. And then we come to Genesis 32. 24. After everybody had crossed the brook and gone over, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. This wasn't a vision. This wasn't a dream. Jacob was wrestling with a man, hand-to-hand combat, all night long. Where'd this man come from? And he said, the man said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Who is it that can bless us? We can give blessing, but in this case, this is God. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God. And with men and hath prevailed. But notice that. This man Jacob had wrestled with this man all night long. And as a result of that, he had power with God. And Jacob asked him and said, verse 29, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Peniel, the face of God. Who is the face of God? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That reminds me, I don't know why I hadn't thought of it before. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Let me turn there. I can almost quote the verse, but I'm having a hard time doing it. Well, this is not the one that I'm looking for. What I was 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom God, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But I was looking for that passage, and I won't take the time to look it up now, where it talks about the face that that the face of God is in Christ Jesus. Jacob wrestled with Christ. Now, when we read the New Testament and we read about the life of Jesus, we don't normally think about somebody wrestling with Him, do we? And Jacob did. Jacob did. Well, in closing, I've got a few more here about Jacob, but in closing, let's look at Hosea chapter 12. Hosea chapter 12. Verse 4, talking about Jacob. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. So there we see that the one that spoke with him was exactly the Lord, Jehovah, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Our Jehovah. So Hosea makes it plain from Hosea 12 that this angel of the Lord, and back over in Genesis 32, was actually Christ in his pre-incarnate state. Well, I hope your appetite is being whetted a little bit, and to think that the same Christ we have today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may our souls be quickened to anticipate communion and fellowship with our Lord more and more as we travel here below. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.